This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports patreon.com/JURY. Thank you to everybody who hung out with us through the month of November, man. A record month. Really, 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 really appreciate everybody doing that. Just come on over. Be a part of it. We have not only the Justin Robert Young Show, the show that you're listening to right now, but also our Politics, Politics, Politics show. Man, what else can we say? What more can I say? I'll tell you what. Number one, your guys' response to this or last week's episode was absolutely insane. So here, you want to know what? I'm going to seg right into this. Patreon.com/JURY. Again, Patreon.com/JURY. And the contender, the game of presidential debate. We talked all about how much financial trouble we got into with this game and how we barely got out of it. We wrote a Medium post about it. And man, do people love reading Medium posts about people being bad at business. We are just exploded last Monday. And it is really, really, really thanks to you guys. And as a little give back, we have made for the rest of the holiday season the contender only, I mean, it's $17.76 on our site. But if you are in the Amazon ecosystem, then you can get it for now $10 off its retail price. It is only $19.99, and you can get it with Prime shipping at Amazon.com. Again, $19.99 for the holidays. The contender, the game of presidential debate. Get it! And, of course, my stickers are DIAF. Your holiday sticker packs are here. 10 stickers, 2 of them new, 8 of them classic, an original Ruin'em wine label, as well as 2 Jury Buys You a Drink tokens, all for you at stickers or DIAF. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just go ahead and do the damn thing? Welcome, everybody, to the Justin Robert Young Show. My name is Justin Robert Young, and I'll tell you what. I'm very glad that I moved this show to Monday morning. You can start your week with the gerbs. You can download it wherever you want. You can watch it, youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung. But there is some topics that would have just fit better on a Sunday afternoon. And this, my fine feathered friends, is one of them topics. Sunday afternoon's a little looser. Sunday afternoon, sitting around. Maybe you get a little brunch in you, huh? Couple Bloody Marys, couple mimosas. Sit down, watch some football. Yum-a-dum-dum. Have a couple brews. Just relax, right? This is your day of rest. And in that mindset, a relaxed mindset. Maybe you went on a hike, kept it mega active. Good for you. Out on the trail, eating Chex Mix, having a good time. Come back, it's dusk, washing all that grime off you. Oh, you're feeling like you've had a time. Then you tune up the old jury podcast and it's going to talk about something that might be a little weighty, right? But you feel like you've lived a bit of a day and maybe it's about time that you bid on into it. Then Monday morning, it's a different story, right? You've just woken up. Maybe if you're on the East Coast, you've already done half a day's work. You've already realized how much you have to get done this week. Tense. Sunday, relaxed. Monday, tense. Relax, tense. So it is with that, because I only have so many topics to talk about on this show, that and the thing that I found the most interesting this week was racism. The crowd goes wild. Yes, racism is going to be what we discuss this morning. Monday morning. Remember when Starbucks wanted to have this thing where it was like, hey, bring up race with your barista. Great idea. Great idea. That's an amazing idea. Yeah, dog. Great, great call. Because randomly, somebody with a double zero spacer in their ear, a white kid from the suburbs whose dad probably works at Goldman Sachs, he's the one that you really want to talk about racism with. Sure, the key lies within his heart and has the entire time. We can heal our fractured nation if only Trevor, the barista, would talk about racism. And I understand that it's not like one random asshole with the mic is going to do anything very substantive on the problem that plagues our country. It is a uniquely American version of a global problem, the otherfication of the other. And here in the U.S. of A., we deal with straight out American racism. Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to tell anybody about anybody else's experience. Because I don't know anybody else's experience. I mean, sure, I'm like anybody else. I can make guesses. I can guess. But I don't know. I don't know that anybody else knows either. I'm only going to talk about my own experience. But it's going to be filtered through one news story. And it's a news story that I saw posted by your friend and mine, Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. Odokta. Odokta posted a video wherein a woman said that she was dating a guy. It was going well. She is black. He is a white guy. And whilst Donald J. Trump, our president-elect, was running for president, she believed that he became more racist. He was radicalized into racism by Donald J. Trump. I'm like, wow, this is a crazy story. I gotta click on it. So I did. This is the post that I saw. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Get the fuck out. Is it, you know what? That's what Trump should do. The second he's elected, give all you motherfuckers your tickets back. You don't like it? Peace. Black Lives Matter, go matter the fucking Ghana.
Okay. Let's go ahead and start to break this down. Shall we? Shall we? Shall we? We shall. Okay. What's the first thing you hear? What's the first thing you hear? Because I know that maybe it's Pac that can't have it yet. I mean, it's the Boston accent, right? It's the Boston accent. That's the first thing you hear. The first thing you hear is this guy like, Matt, well, Georgie's, you know it. All these other races, they make me so mad. The Buck R.I., with the R.I. stands for Rhode Island. Man, New England's going to get it. New England's going to get it this episode. Yabs in the chat room says, yeah, he's definitely dropping his R's, except on the ends of certain words, for which he will indeed make sure those R's are extra hard. Note also, Black Lives Matter to fucking Ghana. Note that. I have a point on that coming up.
Go dig for fucking diamonds over there. Have fun.
You do realize you sound like a racist, right?
Maddie, I don't care. You want to know why? Because I'm not up there saying white lives matter. White lives come to the front. Black lives go to the back. I'm just like, hey, what's up? How you doing? But when you want to come at me with your fucking Black Lives Matter and this, that, and the other thing, and the white people need to go to the back because white black people always had to go to the back, and now the white people need to do it.
No, 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 no! Oh, there's such a fine line between, like, doing the voice when you're characterizing stuff. Oh, this guy! We just need to keep going.
Fuck your black ass. Get the fuck out. Get out of my country. You're causing the fucking problem. Bye.
I never said anything.
Here's your ticket back to motherfucking Nigeria. Peace out.
Please note, another African country. Two African countries. Let me tell you about the guy who does two African countries, okay? White people! I want y'all to please write in. Please write in. Because what I want to do for this episode is to pull back the linen curtain. Pull back the curtain of what white people say to each other. Because I believe that there is a substantive element of my audience that is listening right now. I believe that it is a substantive element of our society, which is familiar with this guy. I know that I had to understand that this guy existed because I was told as soon as I moved out of Florida that this guy is just a native to Florida. The South is where all the racism is. And then I lived in the Northeast. And lo, to my surprise, I met more of these guys in the Northeast. Turns out the South isn't the only place where there is racism. It might be a larger problem. Somebody stop the presses. But I want anybody who has been in this situation. You want to hear my favorite racist joke? Here's my favorite racist joke. How does every racist joke start? This is kind of a visual bit, so you need to look at it on YouTube. But it's just me looking over my shoulders twice. Because that is how every racist joke starts. Is somebody wondering whether or not they are going to be called racist for telling a racist joke. It's a very, very weird dance for which white people play. But this guy is universal. This is the guy who knows multiple African countries so he can be more erudite. He's a racism hipster. Like, he thinks that somebody just telling black people to go back to Africa is hack. So he's got to do, like, man, go back to Nigeria. Go back to Ghana. Go back to West Congo. Go back to, whatever, Senegal. This dude's watching the World Cup. He's doing racism research. He's watching the World Cup and just writing down all the African. Oh, like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, Senegal. That's a good one. Yeah, okay, let me write that down. He's a racism hipster. This is the worst guy. The worst guy. There's a good chance that you know this guy. Do you know this guy? I don't know about this guy specifically. But this guy, name two African countries guy, the most racist guy in your social circle, the guy who casually drops a racist joke at the office. Oh, how about this guy? This racist. Oh, my God. This racist. The one who tells the racist joke at the office and then, like, slaps your thigh because you didn't laugh. Oh, God. Yabs, I'm sitting next to a guy like this in my office right now. I'm sitting next to a guy like this in my office right now. Just that guy. They should go back to Ghana, right? Hey, you. Hey, loosen up. Loosen up. That guy? That, I mean, come on. I got to get emails on this. Brocodile says it's breaking two rules. Number one, no touching. Number two, office racism. All right, let's go ahead and get back into this old piece of work.
I never said any of that.
The guy you voted for is the number one fucking head of that fucking bullshit. He fucking started the shit, and he fucking incites fucking riots. When he said, I support the Black Lives Matter movement, that's it. You're done. You're done. You're a dumb fucking nigger in my book. You have no fucking value to me.
Hey, there's an R he didn't drop. There's an R he didn't drop. Oh, he remembered that R. He remembered that one. He could pack the car and have it yet, but he certainly remembered that one didn't get replaced with an AH. No, 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 Mayor Quimby.
You do realize it makes you sound like a racist when you use racial slurs, though, right?
But don't be a dumb nigger. Don't be a dumb fucking nigger. Don't be your average fucking shoeshine boy. Get it.
This guy. All right, here. I'm just gonna get to the end of this, and then I have the real victim.
Here. Job. Go to work. Do something other than sitting there making fucking videos about fuck Donald Trump. Go take my mom's fucking food stamps away. Blah 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 blah. I'm gonna start a war. I'm gonna go to war. Why don't you get a fucking job, you fucking nigga? Jesus Christ.
So, to be fair, I think he did drop that last R. I think that that one did drop. That one was an AH. I think that last one he did, that wasn't a hard R. Like, if I'm just gonna phonetically go after it.
I can race this all I fucking want. I'm right. You don't wanna live.
Just so everybody is very clear, right? That is obviously reprehensible. However, I will, and email me if you do not agree, I will say that a large majority of the people listening right now have had to listen to that, whatever that is, right? Some version of that. And remained either in contact through family or had to work professionally with that guy. With that guy. And many times worse than that guy. Casual racism. Mega cash racism. Man, it's persistent. And the funniest thing about mega cash racism is you heard it in that video. That dude is going off, right? Again, racism hipster. He can't just say go back to Africa. He's got to say go back to Nigeria, go back to Ghana, right? This dude is knee deep in it. He's living. He is about that life. But his girl needs to tiptoe around him being called the R word.
You know what makes you sound like a racist when you say racial slurs?
Why didn't she just say, dude, that's racist? That is a racist statement that you are making right now. Because casual racists hate being called racist. Oh my God. It is their kryptonite. You ever want to melt a racist? Call him a racist. It is the only slur for white people. The only time that you can get under a white person. White people love being called ethnic slurs, especially by black people and brown people. Whenever a black person's like, man, cracker, like it tickles white people. Woo! Say it again. You're a racist. I'm a what? You did not just call me a racist. You did not. Why am I racist? Here are some facts and figures. I'm not racist. I'm a learned man. I just happen to have a very large opinions on racial issues. I'm not a racist. Why am I racist? Why isn't this other person racist that does other racist things? I'm not a racist. Don't stop it. Stop it. Stop calling me a racist. I do have a problem with that video, though. Or rather, the way in which it is presented. Because I find it very, 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 very hard to believe that that dude just started getting racist when Donald Trump ran for president. I don't think that that kind of progress in racism is possible. I do not think that dude is working like AP racism. You don't go from remedial racism to AP racism in 6 months. You don't. You don't go from Black Lives Matter parade? Hey, honey, do you want to go to the memorial service for Trayvon Martin? You don't go from that, right? I really think that we should donate to Ferguson. That guy, you don't go from that guy to this guy. You don't go from that, you know, you don't go from honey, I can't breathe t-shirts got in. That guy does not then in 6 months go like put on a Make America Great Again hat. And then he's like, you know, go back to Ghana, go back to Nigeria. That doesn't happen. It's not like the Make America Great Again hat is like a racist Frosty the Snowman artifact. And when you placed it on his head, he signed up for storefront.org. The racist Bostonian was a really nice guy. He had a black girlfriend, and to the end, he said he wouldn't be racist. But there must have been some racism in that Make America Great hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, he hard-arred himself out of town. There's no way. He does not go from, like, totally cool on race issues to that dude. that quick. That's impossible. I just don't believe it. And she had dated him for 3 years. 3 years. Gotta be. Oh, man. I don't know. All right. You want to know what? Here, let's go ahead. We got a big beefy mailbag section here today. So let's go ahead and get into that. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. We got Bosty the racist. Okay, that was a shift lock. We got a couple responses from some episodes that we did over the last few weeks. So let's go ahead and begin. Jessica, so here's the deal. Your most recent show reignited teenage rage at the double-edged sword that is being a teenage girl. What the hell does a girl have to do to win with you people? Backstory. I'm a 27-year-old bisexual woman, a Navy veteran married with two kids. 10 years ago, I decided to join the Navy instead of going to college because, after some soul-searching, I knew that what I really wanted, sex and adventure, and some time to grow up. I knew if I went to college, I'd spend most of my time not studying. On the attractiveness scale, I'm a hair above average in that female sweet zone. Attractive enough to date a wide swath of men and women, but not enough to threaten other females. It's a good sweet spot. It's a Goldilocks zone. In high school, and the first 3 years of my Navy career, I wanted to meet and date and sleep with all sorts of fascinating people. Anyone who tickled my brain clitoris. Fat people who just enveloped you in love. Skinny people I could envelop. Mopey people, shallow people. Bohemians, conservative choir boys, and girls who just discovered their naughtiest side. Geeks, nerds, jocks, and yes, shy men and women. Later, I would pick up the buds recruits from across the street from my base for weekends of comfort before and after deployment. I was always upfront and honest with what I was looking for, and I refused to follow the hookup rules shoved down my throats by others. I do want involvement and intimacy and deepness from my lovers, and disappearing after a night of impromptu magic was never my scene unless I had to go to work early, and even then, I left a note appreciating the finer aspects of the evening and what to expect in the future. Maybe a gift if the person really blew my mind. No strings, just a, hey, I'm glad you exist. Hey, maybe she gave a gift basket like Derek Jeter. We continue. So when a woman like me looks at a person who has ignited my passion, and I approach you with a, hey, I really enjoyed your blah, and I'm tuned into how passionate you are about X, and I would like to do Y with you if you'd like to do it, it's because I've observed you long enough to know that even if you're making eyes at me, nothing is going to happen if I don't make the road a bit easier for you to overcome your social anxiety. For your dumb, stupid ass to turn around and say she gets around or she's the one who got knocked up early, and I did, sex leads to pregnancy and it's quite lovely. Thanks, dick. Or she just came on too strong. A teenage part of me is screaming in outrage. What the F do you want me to do? So, bat your eyelashes at you and use a subtlety I know you're going to misinterpret and not act on. Or wait for your blue-balled, sexy dumbass to approach me, which will not happen. Or come on with a disingenuous let's get coffee when I know that your band is leaving tomorrow. What the F does it take to not be a slut or a saint, but a hot-blooded woman who wants to show your physical and mental appreciation for your efforts in whatever, music and Shy Guy's case, you have a very sexy passion for? Arg! She wrote arg. I want to smash your beautiful heads together and pour out years of slander and hurt lobbed at me for choosing to love when I can instead of wonder what if. Or choosing to share my body and mind with people I admire and have that be a bad thing for either party. Okay, adult me now. You touched a nerve and I'm triggered, yo. Now in a big girl voice, I love the show. Look forward to more. Still having wild politics dreams. Thank you so much for writing in, Jessica. Now, I'm not sure that I remember the moment in the Shy Guy interview two episodes ago wherein we talked about how staying away or commenting on girls who have gotten around, I don't quite remember that. If anything, we were more kind of going over, again, what she has very accurately described as the shy boy instinct to not go after stuff. And whenever you are dealing with the personal responsibility of being a human being, right? Like, I think you tend to take on more of the responsibility yourself. So, I'll just say this. God bless you, Jessica, because you were fighting the good fight. I've always had a problem. I remember in high school, I was always friends with the sluts, and I didn't get laid until college. So it wasn't necessarily that I wanted to get laid. I just always found the sluts more interesting. I'm saying sluts as in, like, people who were branded as sluts in the, you know, prison cockfight that is high school. They just had more stuff going on. A little looser. Bad pun. Phrasing. But, you know, just a little bit more relaxed. They would want to go on adventures, you know? The girls of society were always just so... They were playing not to lose. They had all the power, so they were trying to snipe at each other in kind of very formal rules of engagement. But the ones that were already like, oh, they had sex with three or four people, like, whatever. Those were just, I don't know, those were just my friends. Those were who I grew up with. So I very much understand where you're coming from, Jessica. I definitely see where that would be frustrating. And I'm going to take a wild guess and say that you are yelling at other people that are not us. You are yelling at other people that are giving you labels that you are still very, very, very angry about. And I don't blame you for being angry about, for the record. I don't remember saying a lot of the stuff that you're upset about, but I understand it. It is a point well made and, I believe, well taken. Glad writes, one of my high school friends, a girl, started at my college this year. We've been friends for a while, so this means we can carpool back on breaks. We hang out occasionally, and we're even in the same major, so I help her with her classwork occasionally. Now, at a certain point in this semester, I found myself back in the subset of people regarded as single, and she was very nice to have around afterward. Now, though, later on, I'm interested in giving the two of us a swing. We had dinner together the other night, driving home for fall break. We got back, decided we want to go to an actual restaurant. When we got back, conversation got a little bit more personal, but still lighthearted. Now, I'm the kind of person who tends to overthink this sort of thing. It's not really my forte. I am aware, however, that I can be a bit overbearing sometimes. So how do I express my interest in her without being that weird guy who won't leave her alone? Well, you. Here's where people get in trouble for being overbearing, in my opinion. You need to go back and watch one of the greatest scenes in movie history is in the film Swingers with Jon Favreau, where he meets a girl and is calling her to leave a fun kind of flirty message on her machine. This is back when we had physical machines that answered. And he keeps screwing up. So he keeps calling back to correct himself on the previous message. And what it illustrates so amazingly is where people get in trouble, which is doubling down and trying to fix what you see as a problem. So here's what I want you to do, Glad. I want you to just write down right now what you would reasonably believe is the full scope of you just saying, hey, I'd really like to take you out sometime. Because I think it would probably just be that. Hey, make a coffee date and then say, hey, we should go out to dinner. Now, what I want you to do past that is whether or not she is receptive or not receptive is to understand that that's that. You want to not be overbearing? Stick to the plan. Don't think, oh, God, that didn't go well. Maybe I need to clarify. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to talk to somebody else. Stacy, who is here in the chat room, we were joking around about the guys who write multiple paragraph text messages. Never a good look. Never, ever, 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 ever a good look for any party, guy or girl. Text messages, maybe two sentences. Two sentences. But it has to be a back and forth. So don't clarify. Just say, yo, what's up? Want to go to coffee? That's great. Want to go to dinner? That's great. Would you like to have sex with me? Fantastic. Let's go back to college. Chris writes, every girl I dated with the exception of one was a redhead. My father once said to me, what, you haven't had enough suffering in your life? Well, I'm happily married for 10 years now. This is because I told a story where I said that my friend had red hair and an attitude to match. And all I got back was like, what do you mean? What do you mean about redheads, huh? What do you think? You think we're touchy? You think we're aggressive? Is that what you think? Huh? You piece of shit. You piece of fucking shit. You think redheads are aggressive? Just saying. Just saying. And here we go. This one is a doozy that we're going to go out on. You might have remembered that on a previous edition of this show, I talked about talking to your exes. And specifically, there was this story from Connor. Connor told a story about how his ex-girlfriend was, you know, he thought he was trying to be friends with her. And then all of a sudden, she was acting weird. She was acting distant. I said, Connor, you know, I gave advice. And then I was like, I think that there's some elements of this that you're leaving out. I think that what you are leaving out is the fact that you guys had a little fling and now you're no longer having the fling and she is reacting appropriately for somebody that is going through a breakup, but you are painting her as unreasonable because she is flipping out as a friend. Connor writes back. You're right, Justin. I tried to spin you a tale. And you looked right past that tapestry to what the real story was. I was banging my ex-girlfriend in the lost summer. Yes! Yes! Nailed it! Nailed it! Damn! You so boiled! Oh, God damn it! Now, apparently, Connor wrote in while this was happening, and we read his email on the show, so he is under the assumption that I remembered his email. My friend, no, I did not remember your email. I just read it and I drilled down and I got the truth, the milky nougat of truth. In conclusion, in my last email, I talked to her about it, and we're solid now. Yes, after we broke up, we didn't speak for 3 or 4 months. I can confidently say I settled my life down and move on. More how she did below. In the conclusion of the summer, yeah, we banged. It wasn't exclusive for me. I assumed it wasn't for her. Oh. Mistake. Never assume that. Never assume that. Bad assumption. Have the conversation. Please. I'm begging you. He says, wrong I was, but I didn't think that was for reasons of monogamy as it was for lack of effort, but that's just an assumption. If we were to genuinely look back on it now, I think that she did want more, but not to get back together. I think she wanted emotional support more than anything. She had switched schools back to our hometown, expecting it to be as if she left it. But, like with college, old friends move on and make new friends, and she was more lonely than ever because of it. During the fall, she tried to join a sorority, but called me crying after she was dropped. Apparently, she thought we were at that place. I feel the need to speculate some. After all the emails, this is going to be way too long, so who cares? That summer, I figured out that my ex-girlfriend was a bit crazy. Just a little. If you remember my first email, she tried to get me to sleep with her by telling me all about the guy she'd hooked up with since we broke up. I'm assuming to try to get me jealous to want to hook up with her. That was the most major of a few instances that I'm talking about. What I think changed in the past few months is that she feels like I won the, quote, better off after breakup thing because of how much she relied on me during the summer and early fall. Again, if I were to speculate, her acting weird is trying to act uncaring to counteract how much she relied on me in the summer. I'm not going to lie. This hypothesis is mostly based off one thing that happened. Friend had a party late in the summer. Lots of friends from high school. Great time. X is there talking to a girl, and she tells this girl about how she wishes she would have broken up with me sooner, and I was such a weight on her. Yada, yada, yada. That girl happened to be a friend of mine, which is the only reason why I know this. I would never say this to anyone who knows me personally, because I think it's a dick move, but that breakup was extremely one-sided. She did not want it to happen. She tried to bargain with me for days afterward, asked if we could keep talking at least, and I said no. She said when I had to give her a date for when we could talk again because I knew it would only be bad if we continued talking. It's only from this and how she's acting recently do I get the feeling that she's trying to make up for some insecurity based on how she acted during the summer. Yeah. Yeah. You think she's maybe making up for a little insecurity? Maybe? Yeah, I agree. She's making up for a little insecurity. We continue with the finale of the letter. I find myself asking why I'm writing this. Certainly haven't spent this much time thinking about my ex-girlfriend since we broke up. I honestly had these thoughts pretty well packaged and stored away. Even had a bow on top. It was green. But I'm dumping that box back on the table and combing through it with you because I guess I'm worried about how you view me. And as someone I respect, I don't want you making assumptions about my character. Based on the snippets of my life, I find suitable enough to email you. Yes, I have regrets and faults, and I know them. But for as much as I try to be self-reflective, I don't think the lost summer was one of them. Also, I'm just now Googling the lost summer to see what it is. Look at that. I made the title of the show. Thank you very, very much for your honesty, Connor. We always appreciate that here on the show, and hopefully it indeed inspires other people to write in with the trials and tribulations of their life because, you know, it makes the show better. Here's just a good life lesson. It's good for all the youngsters listening to the show. The story of your life is going to be told in two acts. Number one, realizing your own actions, becoming self-aware of how you act around other people, the motivations for which you act on, and your self-control. A lot of people don't get there. I'm just going to let you know. A lot of people don't. And they grow up to be adults, sometimes rich, sometimes poor, sometimes nice, sometimes mean. Self-reflection and self-understanding is huge. In fact, it's a whole cottage industry out here in California. They call it mindfulness. The second step is understanding those faults in other people. Theory of mind. Realizing that there is damage all around us. We are damaged. Those around us are damaged. Our friends and family, people that we care about, people that we hate. We've all suffered some element. So when you look at your ex-girlfriend, Connor, and you're like, yeah, you want to know what? She handled her breakup weird. And then she feels very self-conscious that she feels that I'm better off in the world than she is. And she looks at my kindness and assumes that I'm owed a debt on it or whatever. That's because she's working through stuff. Now, it's not your job to make her better. But if you want to be a friend to her, then that's probably what she needs help with. But most of all, I think both of you guys need to realize that, hey, look, these are the experiences that define our reality. This is how we know that we can feel bad here. This is the survey that reveals the ravine so we can build a bridge over it. If you don't do good with these revelations, if you don't do good with these lessons, then you're never really going to know yourself. You're never really going to understand who you are. And I would certainly hope that listeners to this show, by way of sharing and listening to so many other lessons, can maybe put some work in to make themselves better. Of course, you can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. You can write about whatever you want. I want to hear about casual racism. I want to hear about all these other stories of life and love. Twitter and Instagram, of course, is Justin R. Young. Snapchat as well. Tell me your casual racism stories. In fact, if you know somebody in your life that's a casual racist, just take a real quick sneak spy picture and just snap me. Snap me your casual racist at Justin R. Young. Of course, you can always join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. Oh, my God. I totally forgot of what I wanted to do today. Connor, I'm going to email you back. You are the stickers or DIAF email of the week. Brought to you by the Stickers or DIAF Holiday Pack. Get it right now. Stickers or DIAF.com. We're going to do that every or for the rest of the week and probably for the rest of forever. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your old pal, Justin Robert Young. And I'm reminding you to please don't die.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.